Well, good morning to you. You know, I'm not an unconscious preacher. I see and perceive what is going on in the world today. Much of the world is losing their head. But today we're returning to our series on the Psalms. And I have every confidence that what we're going to do today will be encouraging, hopefully, not only to God's people, but to others who may hear it. Psalm 46. Now, we're not going to go to Psalm 46 today, but we're going to begin there. The first verse says, God is our refuge. You know, quarantined by order, isolated because of care. What a wonderful time to recognize God is our refuge. A refuge is a place of safety. And strength. Strength to fight off the enemy, which one today is more apparent than all the rest, that is that coronavirus. Strength is necessary to fight off that enemy. And it goes on to say, God is our refuge, place of safety and strength. King James translates, a very present help in trouble. More literally, an aggressively present help in times of trouble. I want to go today to Psalm 31, setting the context of this Psalm of David. David is in a place that is almost unimaginable. And I have to believe that every listener here and virtually everybody in the United States could never imagine that we would find ourselves in this situation against an enemy. But David finds himself fleeing from his own son, Absalom. And a majority of the country, of David's country, joining Absalom. He's in a tough situation. He's in trouble. And David says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Now, we've said before, if you know, I never know who's listening. So, for those of you who have been with us for quite some time, this may seem old hat, but listen in. Deliver me in thy righteousness. The word is tzedek, and it has to do with covenant keeping. And God had made a covenant with Abraham and with his descendants. And all these promises found in the Old Testament either were directed at Abraham or to his descendants. And one of the great covenants or promises was deliverance, and righteousness is keeping covenant. David was relying on the promises of God for his deliverance and God's righteousness, God's keeping his promises. He says, bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Oh, how many people could say that prayer today. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. I want to point some, let's go to the third verse first. Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. When you read in the second verse the word rock, the Hebrew word is tsur, and it's a large rock, a place of defense. But when we go to the third verse, it says, for thou art my rock. The word here is Selah, and it is a cleft rock. We have that old song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. There's a specific place in that rock, in the rock, for me. I hope you're making these words personal for you today. And because you're my cleft rock, therefore, for thy name's sake, you know how often God speaks in that, with that phrase? As a thick cloud, the scripture says, thou wilt blot out all my sins for thy name's sake. God does things for himself. You know, when life eternal begins, and I'm talking about the manifestation of life eternal, we're going to find out, oh, God created the worlds for his sake. And thank God, he included us in that thought. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me. For thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Jesus said that. Can you? For thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Amet, derivative of amen. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. God knows what's going on here. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy, for thou hast set my feet in a large room. That means set me free. I'm talking to people to whom Jesus made the statement, thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Have mercy upon me. This is a guy talking as he's claiming the promise of God being our refuge. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm in trouble. Mine eyes consumed with grief. Yea, my soul and my belly, my life is spent with grief. And my years with sighing, my strength faileth because of mine iniquity. My bones are consumed. I was a reproach among mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, his own son, and a fear to my acquaintances. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. I'm reminded that in the New Testament, Paul tells us that we have, the King James says, have this treasure in earthen vessels. One translation says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And this is the treasure that wells up inside and brings the prayer like David's prayer, brings it out in us. For I've heard the slander of many, fear was on every side, while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. How many of you know these are the words used? By the council devising the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. What's his response? But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. And folks, we are in good hands. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. That's the blessing God told Aaron, how to bless God's people, Israel. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious. That word grace means unmerited favor. We don't come to God on the basis that we qualify. We come to God by his grace, unmerited favor. He promised it. Save me for thy mercy's sake. And how many of you know mercy is something given to someone who doesn't deserve it? Let me not be ashamed. He says it a second time, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things, proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which is laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast made for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. I want to take a moment because, you know, in the 13th verse, it says, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. It's a different word in the 13th verse than here in the 19th verse. This word in the 19th verse is yare. And that this word, well, that's, this is why God gave gifts to the church, pastors and teachers, to exegete, that is, to bring out and make to be seen the word of God. This word is yare. It fear, it means to revere. It means to regard with respect and affection, mingled with awe. And we said last week, our God is an awesome God. And there's another ingredient mixed into this word being translated fear here, to regard with respect and affection, mingled with awe, plus love. And John tells us that we love God because he loved us first. Which thou hast, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Think on that. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Folks, we have great enemies in these days. One, you know, They're calling it coronavirus. But you know what makes it 100 times worse? I mean, I went to the store yesterday and, you know, in this little suburb where no infections are reported, the people are in panic and they're afraid. And most of the fear and panic is caused by this goddamned media. These people putting all these gotcha questions to a man who, you know, I think it's the 13th chapter of Romans. It says, you know, God appoints the leaders. And, oh, are we thankful God has brought us such a leader as Donald Trump in these days. And these enemies of God's appointed man, using the strife of tongues, are making this situation 100 times worse. Remember what David's situation is. He's fleeing from his own son and his own country. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness. In a strong city, King James translates, in a fenced city, in a secret place, we are hid with Christ in God, the Colossian letter tells us. David goes on and he says, for I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. You ever get that feeling? He said it in haste. That means, you know, he said it without thinking. You know, it came out of his flesh. He was talking about earthly circumstance. But God's word is more real than any earthly circumstance we might find ourselves in. For God's word made it all. He spoke, and nothing became everything. I said in my haste, my flesh, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, even though I was stupid and spoke that way, nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. And David said, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. That is, his committed ones. The Lord preserveth the faithful. The Lord preserves. The Lord is preserving the faithful. Now that's the English translation. You know what the Hebrew says? The Lord is preserving. Ameners. The word in the Hebrew is amen. The Lord is preserving the no doubters. Stick that in your vocabulary of faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Lord is preserving ameners. And plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. You know, I struggled as I was studying this psalm with this, because I didn't quite understand it. But let's go back to the 18th verse. It says, "Let lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous." God is going to wholly respond to those which speaketh grievous things proudly. Be of good courage, David says, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. In these last two verses of this 31st Psalm, we encounter the words love, faith, and hope. Paul tells us, and see if this fits our circumstance, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "For now we see through a glass darkly." We're not seeing everything clear, but then face to face. "Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known, and now abideth faith and hope and love." Be of good courage, David says, in the midst of his circumstance. And he, God, shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What's the message today? In spite of your circumstance, be of good courage. In your personal study, I hope you have a pen. If you don't, come back, listen again, write these down. Matthew 9:2, Matthew 9:22, Matthew 14:27, John 16:33, Acts 23:11. I'll give them to you quickly. Jesus, seeing a man of palsy, he says unto him, in King James translation, it says, "Be of good cheer." That's a horrible translation. He says, "Be of good courage." First thing Jesus says to this man is, "Be of good courage, your sins are forgiven." He's talking about those who feel guilt. He says, eliminate the guilt. In 9:22, he's talking to a woman who'd been sick for 12 years. He says to her, be of good courage. King James says comfort. Courage is the word. Your faith has made you whole. In 14:27, we find the disciples who were sent by Jesus out on the Sea of Galilee find themselves in the midst of the storm. The waves are overflowing into the boat. They're drowning. And Jesus appears and says, be of good courage. In John 16:33, some of Jesus' last words to his disciples. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. And in Acts, where Paul finds himself again in great dread for his life in Jerusalem, not knowing whether he's going to make it out or not, the Lord appears that night and says, Paul, be of good courage, for as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so shall ye testify of me in Rome. Be of good courage. Is it guilt? Is it sickness? Is it drowning where the Lord had sent you? Is it trouble in this life? Is it when your vision seems to be void in all circumstance? Reject your dream. Jesus says, be of good courage. David says to the Ameners, be of good courage. God shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And that's the God School for today. But before we finish, I'm going to continue to beat this drum. Folks, if you've listened to this message and it meant anything to you, I want you to, you know, if you've been encouraged, you need to encourage me. I want you to hit that comment button on the message and tell me that you heard and what it meant to you. And with that, until next time, that's the God School.